I was born in Dallas to two Christian parents. My dad was a middle school choir director and a minister of music, and my mom was an elementary school and Sunday school teacher. I liked church, loved God, and I made the decision to be a Christian at the age of 8. I believe this decision was sincere. However, my attitudes and outlook on life did not change. I did not understand the grace extended to me by Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I was mostly happy, but I had a performance-based idea of God's acceptance, and I inevitably fell short of perfect. I viewed God's word, going to church, volunteering, etc., as an obligation or chore. I cared more about appearing to know God rather than having an actual relationship with him. I had my first drink and cigarette in high school. These were occasional recreational activities and did not interfere with my school performance or my church attendance. I decided to go to Wachtell Baptist University in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Go Tigers. Great school, great professors, great people, but I was displaced and I felt lonely. In June, after my freshman year, after drinking and dancing at a club, we went to a house party. At this party, I was raped by a stranger. And until this point, I had this imagination that I was in control of my life. And also, I was a virgin, so this really did not fit into my plan. I was saving myself for marriage. This experience, I was left feeling alone, helpless, hopeless, and full of shame. I drank too much water today. Okay. I did not share the story with anyone, and I refused to acknowledge what had happened, even to myself. After this incident, my drinking escalated. My depression grew as I continued to pour alcohol over the pain. My junior year of college, after 3 bouts with bronchitis, I moved back home. Depression was not only affecting my mental health, it was affecting my physical health as well. I worked for an office for a year and a half, then decided to return to college, this time at UND. I worked at a bar, and drinking was a constant in my life. In 2000, I began a 3.5-year-long drug addiction, which would send me on a downward spiral. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands." My house was crumbling all around me. No longer could I prevent bad feelings with drugs and alcohol. I was unemployed, homeless, and desperate. The alcohol blocked my awareness, the promiscuity hardened my heart, and the drugs sucked my soul dry. My behavior left me feeling empty, broken, and used. I did not know how to deal with emotions, and I did not care about my own salvation, much less the salvation of others. My pain was so deep, I could not bear a day without something to numb me. Alcohol, cocaine, ecstasy, crystal meth, prescription painkillers, relaxers, ketamine, mushrooms, acid, marijuana, sex, and nicotine. The more I tried to fill the void, the more empty I became. The way I was living was out of control. I went for more than 2 years without crying, and you obviously see that I'm a crier. I wasn't sure if God existed, and if he did, I couldn't imagine that he cared for me. I started therapy in the spring of 2003. My therapist was a believer. When he asked me if God existed, I said, "I don't know." I vividly remember my birthday this year. On August 18, 2003, I went to a bar to celebrate with friends and acquaintances. Externally, this was not much different than my birthdays the years prior, but internally, a shift had begun. As I stood in the middle of the party, I realized that my best friend was the vodka in my glass, and I was all alone in a crowd of people. I still did not recognize that I had a problem. That's called denial. This was merely a factual statement. In September of the same year, I received a phone call from my parents. They wanted to talk. They may have expressed this desire before, but somehow I knew this time was different. Fear and apprehension churned in my stomach as I sat face to face with them at their kitchen table. My parents asked me if I had a problem with drugs. Yes. They asked me if I wanted to get better. Yes. The next day, I went to my therapist's office with my parents, where my therapist asked me if I had a problem with drugs and if I wanted to get better. He told me to go to AA or NA, to get a sponsor, and to go to meetings every day. I had thought about going more than once in the past year. I agreed. I started going to AA the same day. By the time I started my recovery process, my heart had already begun to soften. In AA, a sponsor is a sober alcoholic who has been through the 12 steps and can provide guidance and accountability. and the first sponsor is often someone you don't know. She gives assignments related to each step. So after a women's AA meeting, I asked a woman with 9 years of sobriety to be my sponsor. She told me to go to 90 meetings in 90 days and to call her daily. I did a few things right in recovery and a lot of things wrong. I did get a sponsor immediately, and I went to meetings every day. However, I rarely called her. I forged through with my traditional self-reliance. Despite my stubbornness and self-sufficiency, God used the 12 steps and people in my life to bring awareness and draw me closer to Him. I also began reading recovery literature at this time, daily meditations, and purchased a recovery Bible. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over addictions, that our lives had become unmanageable. Powerless over addictions, check. Life unmanageable, check. Step one was easy. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I thought I had let God down, that He would not want to restore me. I was wrong. Come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This verse from Isaiah 1:18 reminds me that I can come before the Lord, broken and full of sin, and He will wash away my sin. My early recovery was a bumpy road, and I had to face buried feelings without my usual anesthetic. But in my desperation, I knew moments of peace when I spent time with the Lord. I had to come to the conclusion that I could not outsmart God. Did I mention that I'm really good at denial? Surrender was my only option. Step three, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. I generally want to seek my will and my way and my own power. So that may be why this is my favorite and possibly most difficult step. If I do this step right, I don't have to be self-reliant, in control, or strong. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This was a challenge for me. My sponsor said this step was to shine a light on my past, to leave out nothing. I wanted to keep my secrets and shame in the dark, hiding in the shadows. But God wanted all of me, and not just the parts I was willing to share. Writing and sharing my inventory brought great freedom and awareness. Through people in my life, a sponsor, a best friend, a therapist, and a support group, I began to trust God and others with my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. In 2005, after a year and a half of sobriety from drugs and alcohol, I was blessed with a beautiful baby girl, Eliora, or Elabella, as her friends know her. I was a believer, but not a member of a church body, and not walking closely or listening to God. In 2007, I knew that something was missing in my life, and I started looking for a church where Ella and I could grow up together. I joined Watermark, a community group, and started Celebrate Recovery in January 2008. I think it's just tears of joy because I'm so excited about that. Because another shift occurred, and I decided that I wanted to be known by others and intimate with God. The women in my small group were amazing, fearless, and honest in their struggles. They were vulnerable, and they shared their hearts, which gave me the courage to persevere. God showed up every Monday night. He used my leaders in small groups to draw me closer to Himself. Secrets that I had kept for myself were brought out into the open, and I was no longer afraid to shine a light. I was eager to be illumined by Christ's light shining in me and through me. I met a woman in CR that I asked to sponsor me. God was honest, or is honest, caring, and easy to trust. She made time for me to share a specific inventory which I had avoided for several years, regarding past inappropriate relationships. In the process, guilt and shame were brought into the light. When I faced my fear of acknowledging my past, God met me there. And I discovered that I was seeking my worth in people, not from my Heavenly Father. This may have been obvious to others, but I could not see it until I got it on paper. I was able to let go of past shame. Sharing this inventory brought a new level of freedom where I could be fully open and honest with the Lord. It became clear to me that my worth comes solely from the Lord, that I am His masterpiece, His workmanship, and redeemed by His grace. My life is radically different today. Beyond behavior change, which did occur, my mind and heart have changed. I have a relationship with my parents today that would not have been possible 6 years ago. I am employed in supporting myself and my daughter. I have friends who speak truth into my life, people who are encouraging and hold me accountable. Without God, I was homeless, jobless, estranged and distant with my family. I was not present in their lives or even in my own life. I am grateful for my salvation today, and I pray for the salvation of others. I get to serve in several ministries at Watermark out of love, not obligation. God's word is truly a lamp to my feet, a source of strength and hope, not a task on my checklist. Do I still screw up? Yes, all the time. But I am quick to admit when I'm wrong, and I keep short accounts. I am learning to live out thy will, not mine, in a daily way. In Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." I am a new creature, but I am not finished. Colossians 3:1-17 speaks of the new life that is promised to each of us through Jesus Christ. I especially love verses 9 and 10 where it says, "You have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourself with a new nature." Brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ who created this new nature in you. If this is your first time, welcome. You are in the right place. God loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. I encourage you to look around you. This is a room filled with miracles. I hope you will keep coming back to experience the miracle. God will continue to meet you here.